Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
So I've entitled my message, An Audience with the King. Psalm 73 verse 1 says this. It says, truly God is good to Israel. Truly God is good to Israel. We sang that last song that God is good. Is that true goodness flows from only one place and one person, and that is God. Is that everything about God and his nature is good. Is that he is good in faithfulness, he is good in love, he is good in salvation, he is good in mercy, he is good in power. Is that the words that he speaks, that they are good and they are true. The actions that he shows towards us, they are good. Truly, God is good to Israel. In this moment right now, I want you to replace Israel with your name. It's truly good. God is good to Mike. Truly, God is good. Put your name in there right now. Truly, God is good to each and every one of us. And I would encourage you, if you look back over past seasons of your life, you will see a trail of the goodness of God. That God's goodness has been evident in so many different areas and aspects of each and every one of our lives. Is that truly God has been good to you. Truly God has been good to me. He is a good, good God who watches over us, who protects us, who provides us. And today, maybe you don't know the goodness of God. If you experience not such the goodness of humanity around about you, but I want to let you know today is that God is a good God. He is good to us. He is so, so good. And I want you to be reminded of this, the goodness of God, as I share this message with you. Have you ever had a moment in your life that just took your breath away? It's been one of those awe moments. Maybe it was seeing the husband, the wife you're going to marry someday in the future for the very first time. Guys, remember that day? Where you just saw her? You do, Graham. I remember the day I saw my wife to bed. I saw the day. Man, ladies, can you remember the time? Where you saw him and thought, oh my gosh, look at him. What a hunk of a guy. You remember that moment? You're just like, wow, all she could think about was him, was her. Have you ever had one of those breathtaking moments as you hold your child in your hands for the very first time that just took your breath away? Or as a grandparent or as a great-grandparent, when you held that grandchild in your arms, it was just like, she is gorgeous. He is wonderful, even if you have to make that up. All right. But it took your breath away. Have you ever stood in front of a mountain range, the Swiss Alps or the Rocky Mountains, and it just was like, wow, it took your breath away? Or maybe at a concert with your favorite musician was just like awe-inspiring. Following one of your favorite sportsmen or sportswomen around, watching them play, it was just one of those breathtaking moments. And I'm sure we've all had those different moments in our life that have literally taken our breath away. But I found also is that once those moments that took our breath away years ago, we now are in a place where we grow so familiar with that person or that thing, and it no longer has the same impact or effect upon our lives. Is it that husband, that wife that you saw decades ago, as you now look at them, there's not the same feeling that you take my breath away? Or that child that took your breath away all those years ago and now find themselves in teenage years and they're taking your breath away in many different ways than the actual awe of who they are. Or you stood in front of that sea, that ocean, that mountain range so many times now, it's just grown familiar. It's just part of the scenery. As we walk into the house of God, maybe years ago, it was just like, it was breathtaking. It took my breath away. And now I walk into the house of God with a sense of the music's too loud and lights are too dim. I wish those kids wouldn't jump on the platform while passing by. We are good. Hello, Mum.
I've got you. Gotcha. How are you, buddy?
Good to see you. Hello,
Mum. Thank you.
You never know what's going to happen in church, hey? We love you, Mum.
Isaac, you had one job.
And obviously, if you were involved, John, he got that job right. But years ago, you were so in awe of the presence of God. Familiarity has just crept in, and we're no longer at that place of awe when we're in the presence of God. It is, I found, one of the greatest enemies that you and I face on a daily battle, in our daily life, is that familiarity will rob us of our awe. Is that familiarity dissipates awe? Is that familiarity is a great thief? It robs you and I. Do not grow familiar with that loved one. Do not grow familiar with your child. Do not grow familiar in the presence in the house of God today. Would you and I stand in a place of awe? Is it awe? Is this overwhelming feeling of reverence? Awe is an awareness of who I am, but a greater awareness of who God is. Is it awe? Is continually seeing the goodness, the greatness of God. And church, I pray that you and I would never, ever lose our awe for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, would you restore our awe of you again and of your presence. Do not allow familiarity to come and steal what God has once deposited in your heart. That prophetic word that was spoken over you as a young person, don't let familiarity come and steal it out of you today. Would you and I put our eyes of awe back on and see the bigness and the greatness and the goodness of God all the way throughout this book. There is hundreds and hundreds. We could spend weeks just reading through the scriptures about the awe of God. Let me share a few with you. The psalmist in Psalm 145 says this, I will extol you. As God, I will lift your name high. I will shout your name from the rooftops, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I'll praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Is God, the psalmist is saying, would you and I stand in awe of God? Not just on our good days. Not when just everything's going right. There's a fantastic. No, would you and I stand in the awe of God every day in spite of the circumstances we're going through? And then verse 2, it says here, David breaks it down. Every day. Every day. I'm going to praise your name. Every day I'm going to stand in a place of awe. There's not going to be a day that's going to pass where I do not consider the greatness and the bigness of God. Stand in awe every day. Habakkuk 3 and verse 2 says this, Lord, I've heard of your fame and I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. Repeat them in our day. God, the works that you've done in the past, would you repeat them today? Your healing power, would you repeat them today? Your revival breath across our great city, would you repeat them again today? And in our time, make them known in wrath. Remember mercy. God, would you and I stand in the awe of God? I'll repeat what you did in my life 10 years ago. Would you repeat it again today? Psalm 33 and verse 8, let everyone stand in awe of him. It's not just the individual, is that you and I are hardwired to give awe to God. We flip over in the New Testament, Luke 5, verse 26. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. As Jesus walked from village to village, as humanity stood in awe of what was accomplished and what he did, is that one of the great central missional gifts of the gospel of Jesus Christ was that Jesus came to give people back their awe of God. God, would you restore our awe of who you are? For the rest of this message, I'm going to camp around a passage of scripture, a great story in the Word of God from 1 Kings chapter 10. We're going to read 13 verses, all right? We'll get through 13 verses right now. This is not your daily Bible reading. Pastor read 13 verses, that's enough for me today. No, no, no. All right. This is an add-on to your Bible reading. Here we go. Are we ready?
Three of us. Fantastic.
When the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord, she came to test Solomon with hard questions. Ladies, why do you do that to us? Times haven't changed. This is like thousands of years ago. It's the same thing today. You come and bring us very hard questions. And if you know most of us, we're very rarely listening. But you bring these very hard questions to us. Stop it now. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue. That's like my favorite word right now, retinue. Like an entourage. With not surprising you didn't know that, John, but there we go. With camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And she came to Solomon, spoke with him all about that was in her heart. Oh, my gosh. Not only does she come with these really difficult questions, she speaks about everything that's in her heart. Guys, you've ever experienced one of those days? I was like, is it everything in your heart day? Or maybe it's like Psalm 145, this is every day. Every day she spills and empties her heart to me. So Solomon answered all her questions. I wish I was Solomon. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It is a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your manner, happy are these servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great quantity and precious stones. There never again came such abundance of spices as the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Also the ships of Hiram, who brought gold from that place, brought great quantities of almug wood and precious stones from Ophir. And the king made steps of the almug wood for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also harps and stringed instruments for singers. There never again came such almug wood, nor has the like been seen to this day. Now King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, besides what Solomon had given her according to the royal generosity. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. What an amazing story right there is. And for now, I want to break down different passages of this verse as we now launch into our faith, love, and hope season, is that God has made you and I to be generous beings. And I want today for you to situate your life as King Solomon. As the word declares that you and I, we are a royal priesthood, a people chosen and appointed by God. And verse 1 says, when the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord, she came to test Solomon with hard questions. From the outset for this message, the whole premise of this message is that our breakthrough comes through our relationship with God. Is that our breakthrough in any area of our life will always come as a result of our relationship with God. I wonder, as we enter into this faith, love, hope season, how your relationship with God is. That through this season, we would be challenged about how our lives are situated in God, is that our breakthrough comes through our relationship with God, is the Queen of Sheba has heard of the fame of King Solomon and that his fame is connected to his relationship with God. And she decides in her heart, I need to go and have an audience with the king because he has a relationship with God. Of all the things that she could have heard about the fame of Solomon and of Israel, is the thing that she heard 2,400 kilometers away in her own kingdom. What she heard about was this guy has this incredible relationship with God, and I need to go and meet with him. She said, I'm not going to send a representative. I'm not going to send one of my diplomats. I'm not going to send one of my ambassadors. No, I'm going to jump on the back of a camel myself. I'm going to travel 50 to 60 days, 2,400 kilometers to have an audience with the king. Why? Because he has a relationship with God. I wonder how our relationship with God is. I wonder if people would describe you and I want to get to know that guy. I want to get to know that lady because she has a relationship with God. Our breakthrough comes through our relationship with God. But breakthrough does not come by you and I just sitting around waiting for God to move. And I know this about God. God can do anything. He can make the impossible possible. God can move in spite of our posture and in spite of our relationship with him. But I have found consistently is that breakthrough comes over our lives when you and I are in relationship with God. I just have to read the stories all the way throughout the Word of God. Is that when the nation of Israel was in a place of connection and relationship with God, is that God's favor and blessing was over every aspect of their life. But as soon as they took these backward steps in relationship, is that God's hand came off them as a nation. Is that I want God's hand upon my life. As Pastor Mel said, Psalm 139, would we allow God's hand of blessing and of favor to be upon us. That I'm not moving ahead of God, I'm not lagging behind God, but I'm perfectly in that position of relationship so that God's right hand of favor and blessing is over each and every one of our lives. Is that she heard about his relationship with God and says, I need to go and meet him. I need to have this personal audience with the king, verses 2 and 3. And so she came to Jerusalem with a great retinue and entourage, with camels that bore spices and very much gold and precious stones. And she came to Solomon, spoke with him about all that was in her heart. She said, you know, I'm going to have an audience with the king, but I cannot go empty-handed. But when you and I come into the presence of a God and God Almighty, would you and I not come empty-handed? Would you come with your whole life? Not just different aspects of who we are, but we come with the gift of our whole life. Would we present our total lives into the presence of God? Proverbs 18, verse 16 says this, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Is that whatever you and I have as the gift of God in our lives, as we allow it to flow out of us, is going to have impact right across the world in which we live. And she says, load up the camels. Just like the presence of God just came. I was like, no, it's the keyboard. It's like, no. It's awesome. Load up the camels. Scholars would say she loaded up 600 to 800 camels. I'm going to have an audience with the king. I'm not going empty-handed. I'm loading up 600, 800 camels of gold, of spices, of precious stones. Could you dare to believe today that God wants to get things to you? I wonder what it is that God wants to get to your life today. This is a picture, this is a story. That as you and I have a relationship with God, is that God is able to get things to you. Is Solomon doesn't even need any additional wealth. But this Queen of Sheba, 2,400 kilometers away, wants an audience with a guy who has a relationship with God. She says, I'm going to come and meet with this guy, but I'm not coming empty-handed. Load up the camels with such riches, with such abundance. And as I've been preparing this message, I just believe God wants to get some things to you today. Whether that's his healing power, he wants to get to broken bodies today. Whether that's financially over businessmen and businesswomen, over a single mum today, you just need the provision of God. is that God wants to get things to you. God wants to activate the spiritual gifts around about your lives today. Is that God wants to get certain gifts to you. Could you dare to believe that God Almighty could deliver the greatest of gifts to you? I'm not saying that 700 camels are going to walk down your street this afternoon. Oh, but what a sight that would be. But I am saying that God wants to get some things to you. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you and to me." Is would you and I seek first the kingdom of God, and God will add to our lives based on our relationship with God as a breakthrough comes. Would you dare to believe that God wants to get some things to you right now? Also love the word of God where it says for you and I to go into all the world to make disciples. Would you go? Would you go? But this verse just flipped it. This whole verse story just flipped it in my head. As God says for you and I to go. But this story says that you and I can attract humanity to us because of the presence of God in our lives. Is that this lady, all that vast distance away, heard about the relationship this guy had with God and said, "I've got to go meet him." I wonder what people God wants to attract to your life because of the relationship that you have inside of your life with God. As I look at the life of Jesus, Jesus left his front door every day to go into the world. But he attracted humanity to himself. Why? Because it was his presence. It's for you and I, out of relationship with God, it's not necessarily us continually going and searching. No. It's you and I attracting people to us because they see the gift of God that's inside of each. It takes so much pressure off me. Because so many of us won't go. We're afraid to go. We don't have the knowledge, but we don't have all the answers to all the questions. But as relationship with God, God, would you just attract people to me? Wherever that may be. And she comes with incredible gifts. She wants to empty her heart out. Empty 700 camels carrying incredible gifts to this guy. Our breakthrough comes through our relationship with God. Verse 3, it says, "And so Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain to her." Today, you are somebody's answer because of what God has placed inside of your life. Is that you are somebody's answer to prayer? Is it this? Could you imagine the questions she came and brought to the king? She's sitting on the back of a camel for 50 to 60 days, thinking of nothing else other than the questions she's going to ask this guy. Could you imagine what that first question was going to be? Oh, I don't know. But 50 to 60 days thinking about the question, the very first question. And I reckon her ability to stay in his audience was based upon how he was going to answer that question. Today, would you dare to believe that you are somebody's answer? You are answer to somebody's prayer. Is it mum with your newborn? Have you established patterns in that baby's rhythm, in that baby's life? Is there be other mums that you're an answer to? As you clear, why don't you try that and try that? The motor mechanics. I've loved motor mechanics in our house that just bless single mums and ones that are doing tough. Is that your answer to prayers when one's cars just break down? Or the guy that would just grab a lawnmower and your answer to someone's prayer that's just doing it tough and doesn't have the ability to mow their lawn anymore. Bake that cake. Give that flower. She comes with very hard questions. He is able to answer all of them. Could you dare to believe that you are an answer to somebody? Is that God has placed something in your life, not for you, but for somebody else. And he answered all of her questions. Could you dare to believe that God wants to get something to you today? Would you see your life as being attractive, that God wants to draw people to you? Would you see that you are the answer to somebody's prayer and somebody's question? Verse 4, "And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and her apparel, his cupbearers and by his entryway, by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She was absolutely breathless. She was in awe as she looks about and she considers the wisdom that he answered all her questions. He now walks into the house, the palace, and the excellence. As I found it, excellence is not a spiritual gift. Excellence is a pursuit. As we pursue excellence, we are, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 says that, let everything your hands do, do it with excellence. Is it excellence is not an aptitude, it's an attitude. Excellence makes common things uncommon. And she walks into his palace, and I'm sure it was a splendid palace, but I want you to get today, it's not about possessions. Excellence is not about possessions. I remember a number of years ago spending some time in the largest slum in the world in Delhi in India. I spent days there just going through household and in the slums. As I went to so many of these places, is that these mums and dads, they were just excellent. And they had nothing. They were dressed the very best they could be. Their children were dressed the very best that they could be. Their houses were as tidy as they could be. Excellence is making a common thing uncommon. She didn't walk in because and see the grandeur and say, this is excellent, because she would have had exactly the same back home. She was the Queen of Sheba. She had an excellent palace as well. So it wasn't about possessions. It was about what was inside that house. It's about what's inside your house today. Is that everything inside of that house was excellent? Would you and I pursue excellence? And not for our sake, but when people come into our environment, is that they'll know the presence of God, and the presence of God is excellent. So she sees everything in the house, but then she sees him walk into the presence of God. And at the end of here, watching him walk into the presence of God, there's no more spirit in him. It wasn't his posture. It wasn't with shoulders back and head up and eyes out. No, no. It was with the excellent spirit that he carried into the presence of God. Would you and I, every time we come into the presence of God, carry a spirit of excellence? I'm not just saying Sunday morning for an hour and a half. Is that you and I are always in the presence of God? Is that this is just a bonus that we come together in a free nation, joining with other believers, sons and daughters of God, lifting up the name of Jesus Christ in a place of corporate worship. This is beautiful. But when you and I come into the presence of God, would we come in with a place of excellence? Would we make the common thing uncommon? Would we not grow familiar with the presence of God? But as she saw him walk into the presence of God, she has no more spirit in her. She is totally in awe of what God has done. I pray that you and I would never, ever lose the awe of the presence of God. I remember Holy Spirit speaking to me years ago. I was just going through a tough time. He said, never ever lose the wonder of serving me, Mike. Never lose the wonder. Never lose the wonder of being a son and daughter of God. God, would you renew our awe? Verse 6, then she said to the king, it's a true report which I heard from my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I had heard it. It is one thing to hear something, but it's another thing to see it. As you and I can hear some things, but when we see it, as humanity can hear things come out of our mouths about God, but when they see us living a life for God, it changes everything. She says, I haven't heard half of what your fame is. I have never heard half about your relationship with God. could you and I, is that faith is not built on what is seen, is that faith is built on what things are hoped for. And when you and I are ourselves in a position of hope, it becomes reality. Would you and I hope again? Would you allow hope to rise up in your heart? And the verse goes on, verse 8 and verse 9, it says, happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness. She's been around Solomon, I don't know for how many days now, and she starts praising his God. She comes from a pagan land. She's heard of this relationship with God and being in his company for just a matter, I don't know, of days. She's now declaring, blessed be your God that's chosen you to be king over this whole land. Is when people are in our company for matters of hours or days, can you see them start declaring the goodness of God? Can they see the evidence of God's goodness that's followed you and been with you all the days of your life? He starts praising his God. Wow. Verse 10, just the musicians again. And she gave the king. She gave the king. You dare to believe that God wants to get things to you today? Son, a daughter of God, gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great quantity, and precious stones. And ever again came such abundance of spices as the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. She wanted an audience with the king. She said to her servants, load up the 600 to 800 camels with all of these things. She's not coming empty-handed. But I've found in life it's one thing for the camels to come, but it's a whole different thing for the camels to be unloaded. See, the camels came into the kingdom, into King Solomon's presence, because of his relationship with God. But the Queen of Sheba unloaded the camels. Because she was awestruck. God wants to get things to you. Not only does he want to get things to you, he wants to unload his favor and blessings over your life. And God unloads the favor and blessing of our lives when you and I are in a position of awe. Relationship with God. But I prophesy unto your life today, the camels are coming. Camels are coming. And they're just not coming. No, God wants to unload them. He finds people, they're in a position of awe. But the gifting that God has placed in your life has drawing power to it. God wants to get things to you. God wants to give. He's given to us all things that pertain to life. You dare to believe that God wants to get some things to you. Verse 13 says, now King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired. Whatever she asked, besides what Solomon had given her according to the royal generosity. And so she turned and went to her home country, she and her servants. Can we all just stand up for a moment? So the Queen of Sheba came, now unloaded vast amounts of gold, stones, and spices. But in response to that, it's King Solomon, you and I. He gives it back an overwhelming generosity to her that she couldn't even imagine. And I love this. It comes as he says, according to the royal generosity. Could I prophesy over your life that the camels are coming? I also prophesy that you and I stand in a place of royal generosity. Around the offering, I declare that God would give you and I seed to sow, that would you and I release the royal generosity to the world around about us? the Spirit of God that He's placed inside of you, would you and I release the Spirit of God? Would you and I release the royal generosity that's been given to us? The wisdom that you pray for and say, Father, would you give me wisdom when you're lacking in wisdom? Would you and I allow the wisdom from the royal generosity to flow out of us? The gifts and talents that He has given to you, would you allow the gifts and talents to flow out of the royal generosity of being a son and a daughter of God? Well, whatever it is that God has placed inside of you, would you allow it to, out of the royal generosity, just to flow to those around about us? He's your carriers of something great and something significant. You are not an empty vessel. You're a vessel that's been chosen by God, appointed by God, filled by God. And out of that position, we flow with royal generosity. Let me just pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you today. I thank you for this great people. God, but I thank you above everything else that you are a good God. You are a good God to us. You're a good God. Everything about you is good. And that can roll off my tongue just so easily. We can say, God, you are good, you're good, you're a good God. But Father, let there be a knowing inside of us today of the goodness of who you are. Father, I thank you. There are some things you want to get to your church today. There's some things you want to get to young people today. There's things you want to get to married couples and to families today. And Father, I thank you that right now, you're God who bring good gifts. Father, you want to get things to us today, no, not for our glory, but for your glory. There's people, God, that you want attracted to us. We're not going to have to find them, but out of a place of relationship, you're going to draw people to us. They're going to propel us forward into our future. Father, I thank you that we are answers to someone's prayer today. Let us be someone's answer. I don't want to be someone's problem. I want to be someone's answer today. Father, you're in authority to unload the camels. And it comes out of us being in a place of awe. And right now, we stand in a place of awe. Because can we just sing that last worship song that we sang? We stand in a place of awe. Right now, maybe there's some things in your life you just need to exchange today. You've just grown familiar with. And for many areas, it's just robbed you. And right now, you just need to exchange. As we sing these words, I pray you'd put on the eyes of awe again. See the goodness of God. Thank you. We thank you, Jesus. This morning, just with every head bowed, every eye closed. God is a good God. We just sang it. We just declared it. Maybe you're here today. You've never made this decision. You've never known and experienced the goodness of who God is. Is that God loved you so much that He sent His only Son. The Son came and laid down His life, but death could not hold Him down. The third day He rose again in victory and authority and power. So you and I could have life and life abundant. We could have the saving grace of Jesus Christ with us. That bring us into a relationship with Jesus. I know so many have made that decision today, but maybe you're here, you've never made that decision. I'd love to give you the opportunity right now to respond. And every man, woman, and child throughout their lifetime have the opportunity to respond to the great love of Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today, and maybe there's others today that over this past season of your life, rather than advancing your relationship with God, you've actually retreated, you've taken some backward steps. And today is a day where you, God, would you give me my all back of you? As things have got around about me, disappointments come, but right now, Father, I just want to step again into great relationship with you. And if you're like that today, if this is the very first time making a decision, or today, whether you want to come back in a relationship with Jesus, I would love for you, if you want to be included in this prayer, just lift up your hand this morning. Just as an indication of who I'm praying for and believing for today. If there's
ones in the auditorium, just lift up high. So, hey, Mike, please pray for me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. Thank you so much for that hand, ma'am. I appreciate that up the back there. Amazing decision. Is there anyone else? Look one last time across the auditorium today. Say, Mike, please pray for me. I just need Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for that lady. I thank you today is a day of salvation for her. That old things have passed away. Today is a new day. Simply because she's believed on Jesus Christ. And I thank you that the fullness of God is now the fullness of her life. That Father, every stain, every sin has been washed away right now. Today is a new day. A day of relationship. And Father, I pray as she is now born again, that you have declared her as a daughter of the Most High God. She's a daughter today. Daughter of the King. We give you thanks in your wonderful name. Amen and amen. Let's put our hands together for that lady today.